The following shite is talked by professionals under literally zero supervision whatsoever. Screen queens and their producers deny any affiliation with or practice of witchcraft, black magic, and the occult. Some of the themes discussed in this podcast may be triggering for some listeners, and as such, listener discretion is advised. Screen Queens podcast cannot be held accountable for any pants that might be pooped.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
If you're going to tell me you don't like this dress, I'm sticking my head right in the oven.
Don't fall asleep.
What am I supposed to be scared?
Hello. Hey, what's up with the guys?
I'm trying a new thing. I want a new hello.
Okay, okay, let's give it a go. Okay, no, go. Let's start again. What is it? Go. Okay. And whatever our team song is, and
I'm on the spot now. I'm awkward. Just hi, you guys. What's up? Welcome back to the podcast.
Oh yeah, that's so different. Well done.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm very original. I'll think of it. It'll come to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how are you guys? How is everyone? What are the hot jams? What's everyone been up to?
I mean, not much. Is time anyway? But an illusion.
Are you okay?
No. No, I'm under, this fucking pandemic. I know we're all, you know, going through it. And I have to say, I've been, like, really good at, like, not giving out about it for a really long time. But it has been, like, 2 months since Christmas. And I haven't been able to do anything since then. Do you know? Like, I'm just like, let me go somewhere, like, let me just go to H&M, like, you know.
I'm quite an introvert anyway, so it wasn't so bad, but this one has hit me.
I need to call you out on that, because I did see a thing that you did on Instagram, which is like, how well do you know me? And you asked people to, like, you gave people a choice between this or that, and, like, to vote what you preferred or whatever, and I got absolutely all of them right except for introvert extrovert, and I said
you think
extrovert.
I'm an extrovert.
Absolutely. I think you're one of these, I was gonna call you a shadow person, but I don't know what that is. You're one of these people that, like, he's like, oh god, I'm like such an introvert, because I'm like all, like, you know, very introspective and in my own head, but, like, are you? Like, I went to school with a girl who was, like, the most introvert person ever, and you're, like, her polar opposite. Like,
see, I think
she was basically Carrie. Like, she was like, I'm surprised, like, our gym didn't go on fire while we were at the Debs. Like, our Debs wasn't in the gym, but, like, you know, it could have still gone on fire.
I think genuinely that I'm an antisocial extrovert. Because I don't like anyone, and I won't go out of my way to talk to anyone. But I'm also, like, I don't know. See, it's weird. I think I'm, like, a weird gray space in between the two, to be honest.
No, but I think most people are. Isn't that, like, the whole point of being a person, that you can't just easily fit into, like, one of two boxes?
I don't know. If I was leaning towards one or the other, I would lean introvert.
Have you done your Myers-Briggs personality test?
No, I haven't. That, oh, oh my god, that would be an episode.
That would be a really... Yeah, well, there's nothing spooky about it at all. but that'd be really, like, really telling on that. Because, like, it's an actual, like, psychological evaluation. And basically, it says that there's, like, 16 different types of people. And it's based upon, within, like, four areas, you're one extreme of it or another of one area, one extreme of or another, one extreme or another, one extreme or another. And then whichever combination you end up, it's one of 16, and one of them is, like, introvert or extrovert. But because it's, like, a psychological evaluation as opposed to just, like, how you feel you are, like, it would be really accurate. Like, I'm extroverted. I'm an ENFJ, which apparently so is, I think, is it Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama? I was like, oh my god, Delhi. Yeah, I think it's Oprah, I'm pretty sure.
I'll have a look. Can I take it for free somewhere?
Yes, of course. I would not expect anyone to pay for... Never pay for a personality test. But also don't take free ones. No, because that's what I was going to say. They also don't take free ones, like, willy-nilly. Because you're being recruited into a cult. But yeah, the Myers-Briggs, definitely. And we need to discuss next week which one you get.
yeah, that would be fun. Speaking of fun, we are having none this week.
Yeah.
We're both extremely busy with work and or college, and it's just, it's a lot. So we decided that we didn't have time, nor did we care to research anything for you guys.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about you.
Sorry, real life.
Yeah.
But we did want to put out an episode because consistency is key, apparently.
Well, and... no. Like, let's be honest, Danny. We weren't going to put out an episode at all.
We
were just like, look, we'll just announce on Friday. I'm sure our four listeners will be very upset about it.
Exactly.
But then about an hour ago, we were both like, I miss you. I really felt like the hole in the week not recording. Yeah. Like I felt like I was missing. There's something missing in this week. Yeah, like some kind of like high I didn't get to experience, and it was recording. So we have decided to record a last minute episode.
Lucky you guys.
Mm-hmm. But not so lucky.
It's literally nothing. It is an article that we have found on the interweb, and we are going to discuss it. So we were thinking originally like conspiracy theories, and then Connor came up with the great idea of cursed movies.
Well, actually, there was a stage in between that we should discuss. because I was like, ahead. I was like, what are you talking about? Because Danny said conspiracy theories, but like we'd been talking, you know, recently, and we said as of late, you know, we've been very true crime, do you know? So we kind of also wanted to bring it back to like, you know, kind of spookily dookily, you know, pooka scale. And so I said, no, not conspiracy theories. How about like something got to do with like a movie? And then Danny said, oh, like conspiracy theory movies? And I was like,
that's not what
I meant.
What
are you talking about? Like, what is that? Like, so I was like, no.
there's a bunch of like movies that.
Like, what, Enemy of the State?
Like, no, like, apparently they have like subliminal messages and stuff, and like, there's loads of like hidden government shit and brainwashing people. That's what I meant.
Oh, I love that. Instead of asking you, I was just like, no, let's just go different.
Like, Danny, why don't you go lie down?
No, I thought you were trying to do that thing, which would be a real Libra thing, by the way, which would be like, you know, you want to do this and I want to do that, so to try and force them together into something that it makes everyone happy. And I thought you were like trying to do that, and I was like, that's never gonna work. It's like, why not a conspiracy theory movie? And it's like, that's not a thing. But no, so as Danny said, what we have done is we have found an article on Rotten Tomatoes or tomatoes.
One article as well. It's not like we even curated anything.
No,
no. It's just one article.
It's absolutely a sham. Like, this is why our podcast is free. I know that last week we asked you to please donate money, but that was mostly a joke, mostly.
You guys could pay for a wine each week. It's like a tenner. Like,
did your mouth just whistle as you were speaking?
I think so.
that actually happens to me all the time, because I had braces for years and never wore my retainer, and then all these little gaps have reopened, and like every so often I'll say something and like this like
the beaver
C sharp just comes through like a little gap between my teeth.
I have a tiny little gap in my front teeth, but sometimes it does whistle. But yes, okay. So yeah, we didn't do anything.
No.
Anything at all for you guys. But you should still pay our wine bill every week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Like, wine over here is a fucking steal. If you send me 5 Queen's pounds, I will be able to get a bottle of Blossom Hill up in Tesco. Just so you know.
Wine over here isn't cheap, Daddy.
I know, so they should send more. So if they send like 15 quid, you can get a really nice bottle and I could get a nice bottle.
Get some dada.
Yeah.
Some daddy.
Yeah. Something to think about. We'll put a PayPal link there, being like, send us some money for wine.
Actually, Danny, how was your Valentine's Day?
Oh, I did absolutely nothing. It was Matt's birthday on the 16th, 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
We don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Young love.
I know. So, like, for Matt's birthday, I bought him these really expensive Flyknits, the new Nike Flyknits. I got him those.
I didn't know what they were. And I was like, I actually went... like a little snort.
So I got him really expensive shoes. I cooked him dinner and we ordered from a dessert place and he got like this big massive like diabetic coma inducing waffle, and I had a Kinder Bueno cheese and it was so good. It was really fucking good. So yeah, we did a kind of like turn your foot. This is so unprofessional.
Why does it always happen to me?
You are working.
Oh, it's not my fault that like no one ever texts you except for me.
I do. My phone is just on silent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we did Valentine's Day / birthday. And it was fun. It was really fun.
Nice.
But yeah, he's going away for the weekend and I can't fucking wait. I get to like sprawl out on my own in the bed. It's gonna be great. Oh,
God, you're like, I know. You really make a long term relationship sound so wonderful.
That's the thing though, when you hit that level, like we're coming on 4 years now, we're best friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have sex with each other.
Farting so like, on each other, yeah.
Yeah, like, genuinely. But yeah, it's just that kind of way. Like we tell each other about our poo. Like it's, you know what I mean? You get to that point in the relationship, it's like, I have to poo.
Yeah.
And then you go poo and then you immediately tell
it's
the person,
green. Yeah, call the doctor.
Like, oh, my butthole hurts. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at now. But we're bros. You know what I mean? We're bros. That fuck. Mm-hmm. It's great. Right, so let's get to
Yeah, fuck my Valentine's, am I right?
Well, you're single. I didn't think you'd do anything anyway. How was your Valentine's with Ouija?
Well, I got off and then I had a piece of toast. I went to Marks and Spencer. I bought myself a breakfast called a love sausage, which wasn't at all.
That was
depressing.
Disgusting. That was so scary.
I know. No,
you
that's
have to put it on the Instagram.
No, that's you're thinking of the love parcel, which was way worse. Oh yeah, no, they had a love sausage to go with the love parcel. Well,
I
hope,
didn't see that.
I hope no one ate them together, because one is a breakfast and one was definitely a dinner. But I bought myself that, and I bought myself some chocolate and got some real pitiful looks off the woman serving me. She was really like, and I was like, yeah, and that was good. But weirdly enough, so my friend put up on Instagram her using some filter that had got to do with matching up you with someone on your friend's list based upon their horoscope, okay? And I was like, what the fuck? How did the filter do this? Send me the filter. And she was like, oh, it's on Snapchat. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake, I don't use Snapchat.
Who still uses it?
I know. Aisling, apparently. Way to go, Aisling. And pioneer Gen Z technology. But she sent it to me on Snapchat. So I opened it just to use the filter. And when I was in there, this is on Valentine's Day, I saw I had an unopened message from sometime in January from a boy that I dated 7 years ago, okay?
Oh my God, you're living my life.
Right? Oh dear. So I dated this guy 7 years previously, okay? Went on a few dates, got on really well. I actually quite liked him. He really liked me. Everything was going great. Like, bear in mind, I'm a baby at 23, right? At this time, like, completely different color.
Yeah.
And he was, I think he was 30. He's like a bit older than me. And he, we went out on my birthday, for my 24th birthday. Like, I went out with my friends, he was at his friends. We all met up, I introduced loads of my friends to him, and he proceeded to end things with me then and there that night.
Excuse me? In
a nightclub, like, after I'd introduced, about an hour or two after I'd introduced him to, like, all of my friends.
How did you do that? Like, what did he even say?
Like, to be honest, Danny, it was 7 fucking years ago and I haven't thought about it. So I don't really remember, but I remember giving out to him because I just obviously got really angry. So then I gave out to him for wearing an orange polo shirt, which is like fair. Yeah, I know. And so I had a message from him. He didn't send it on Valentine's Day, but I read it on Valentine's Day. And I just responded being like, oh wow, blast from the past. And then we started texting and now we have a Zoom date tomorrow.
Connor!
I know.
No!
I know.
Does he still have the orange polo neck?
I hope not. Like, I hate polo shirts anyway because I'm afraid of buttons. But yeah. But especially true. In an obnoxious color like that. But yeah, we've been texting every day, and we've a Zoom date tomorrow.
Oh my god! What if it's like meant to be, and you guys end up getting married before me?
I mean, I think I'm definitely going to end up getting married before you.
I know, at this rate, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, no, that's not... I wasn't just bringing Valentine's Day to tell that story. The reason why I was bringing Valentine's Day is because I was going to acknowledge that we hadn't addressed Valentine's Day on the podcast, which, like, there's, like, Valentine's Day Massacre, you know, like, loads of kind of Valentine's Day stuff that we could have had a lot of fun with that we just didn't do.
We just didn't even think about it. That's how, like, I mean, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
No. Well, look, I haven't celebrated it in years because I've been single for so long. I did once get a missed call from Clover Hill Prison on Valentine's Day, though, which is, like, you know.
What?
I had like a missed call from like a number I didn't recognize, and I was like, "Ooh, a la-di-da, I wonder who this is." And when I called it back, they were like, "You've reached Clover Hill Prison. If you are calling," and I was like, "Oh my god, oh my who god. The fuck was calling me?" Yeah, and like I just had images that I was like, "Is like someone that like I slept with?"
You put
like
someone away.
No, that's what I was like. Is someone like obsessed with me? And I was like, "Am I in a horror movie right now? Like, are they going to kill me?" Yeah,
that's
I was
Scream
like,
Queens movie.
Is someone obsessed with me? Like, or like, is my number on like a bathroom wall in a prison? Like, that's my great Valentine's Day story. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm sure everyone else has
that's
a better
magical.
One. It's pretty good. I mean, I
Speaking
do tell
of,
it all the time.
Of numbers, though, I remember in Cassidy, you know, in like Cassidy's.
I thought you were trying to segue us back into the topic.
No.
Here we go.
There's this bar called Cassidy's. I don't know if it's still there. Even
Which one? There's two. Westmoreland Street. Yeah, oh, I know it well. Yeah. Me and my friend call it Coyote Ugly 2 because we decided in there once that if they made a sequel to Coyote Ugly that they would film it in there.
Cassidy's is tiny. Anyway,
I know. So it's Coyote Ugly 2.
That's true. There's a bar here called Coyote Ugly and they all dance on the... on the counter. I'll bring you if you
is that
over.
A joke?
No,
like that's so on the nose, guys. Like, did someone just see that film and be like, copyright infringement?
It is literally that whole gimmick. It is the movie. So anyway,
when I was in New York, there's one called like Rodeo Jacks or something, and it's basically that but a gay bar with cowboys, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, yeah, there's like weird rip-offs of like Hooters and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
but this one is with men. And, like, the thing is, I would feel weird going to objectify the men because I don't really... Like, I like looking at men, obviously, but I don't like creeping in a real creepy way. But, like, I feel like I wanted to work there. Like, I wanted to be, like, the star attraction, do you know?
Yeah, that's always good.
Anyway, back to when you were the star attraction at Cassidy's.
I wasn't, so... What happened was they have, like, loads of board games there. And they had Jenga. And I decided to write my friend Emma's number on one of the Jenga blocks.
Oh, no.
And when I was drunk, completely forgot about it. Like, never fucking thought about it again. And then it was, like, a year and a half later. And Emma calls me up, like, fuming. Because a bunch of people had, like, called her. And they found her number on the Jenga. No, that's not even it. A bunch of people...
I'm lying!
No, I forget how it went out. So, literally, she got so pissed at me, right? Because she ended up, like, a year and a half, 2 years later... going to Cassidy's and playing Jenga and finding that block that I wrote her number on, right? And then she was like, fuck! And she was like, I was wondering. I had so many, like, weird calls, but I just chalked it up to, like, nothing. Oh, like, wrong numbers. And she's like, you're such a dick. And to this day, I don't know if... because, like, I make her laugh all the time, so to this day, I don't know if she actually was seriously pissed at me.
Why don't you ask her?
Oh, it's been ages.
Here
that was,
we
like,
go. Call her out.
It was, like, 2013 or something, but it was really, really funny. Anyway, let's get to this fucking thing, because we're wasting time shiting on like we always do.
I know, so, but, like, let's face it, like, we need to use up some airtime in this episode.
Yeah, I mean,
episode.
That's true. This is going to be short and sweet, guys.
So short. Well, look, we need to give them some of their time back after last week.
Yeah, I mean,
extravaganza.
Props to anyone who actually made it through that. Mm-hmm. Like, send us a message if you did. Because
an ex of mine did. He texted me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Swedish fish.
Oh,
or the Swedish chef. No.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's like, oh, I'm going to listen to this for tips. But anyway, okay.
He ate me anyway.
No. So, we are going to talk to you guys, as we said earlier, about cursed movies. I'm just going to jump right into it because not we will segue.
Mm-hmm.
Not The Ring. Mm-hmm. But...
but Antrim. Maybe The Ring. The Ring might be on the list. I haven't looked at it properly.
There is a movie called Antrim, the deadliest film ever made. So I don't know what this is about.
Right. It's obviously about Antrim in the north. The last place God made.
So I'm going to just basically read this to you and pretend that I'm not reading. You know what I mean? I'm going to try and do it like a script like Connor would know how to do, but I don't. So aww, bear with me. So what sweet better way then to kick things off other than a movie that is the perfect Venn diagram of both concepts? Found footage, faux real horror, and supposedly a cursed film. So Antrim. Is it Antrim or like Antrim, obviously?
Well, the county is Antrim. I know. But this is, but like, Antrim. Maybe it's Ain't-trum.
Antrim.
No, the T is silent. Antrim.
So Antrim purports to be a documentary about a lost 1970s film that was only screened twice because everyone who watches it dies.
What year was this made?
2019. They should know better.
Yeah, fucking hell. Guys, but I've seen this movie before. I liked it more when it was Japanese.
It was, it's based not in Antrim. A movie found in the 70s. So yeah, you definitely don't want to be in fucking Antrim in the 70s, do you? Like, let's be real.
Not if you want to keep your legs.
It's already a horror story, do you know what I mean? So yeah, the movie opens with an 8-minute documentary detailing
this sounds awful. I would leave.
I think we should do a live on this.
I was just thinking that, to be perfectly honest with you. It sounds terrible. I love it.
I know. So it opens with an 8-minute documentary detailing the curse around the film, and then it shows you the actual film itself, so the one that they found, which is about two young kids who attempt to dig a hole to hell to save their recently deceased dog, which is dark. Why did your dog go to hell?
So it's totally not going to backfire on you guys.
No. Why do you think your dog is in hell? All dogs go to heaven. Burt Reynolds said that.
Did he?
He was the dog in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Stop! Shut your filthy whore mouth.
Yes!
The handsome dog.
Yeah, Charlie.
Oh, the sexy dog, like.
Yeah, the sexy dog.
You know what I mean?
Charlie like... and Itchy, the less sexy dog. Yeah, way less.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you knew what I meant, so it wasn't weird.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was, and the little girl that did her voice got murdered.
Is that film on this list as well?
I think a film that she has done is on this list. But yeah, she got murdered. Anyway, so yeah, they dig a hole to hell to try and save their dog, which, okay. So the filmmakers do their best to make the movie within a movie look authentically 70s to help, like, sell the whole
I'm imagining the soundtrack and the costume department. I'm just imagining
what
it, like,
you talking about?
Yeah, being really ridiculous.
Hey.
Yeah, we really did our best to make it authentic. It's the story.
It's just Starsky and Hutch theme.
Yeah, just like afros and Farrah Fawcett freaks and yeah. Oh God.
Antrim's release then, it was preceded by rumours and word of mouth among hardcore horror fans, much like the way the controversial 2011 A Siberian film grew a reputation.
Siberian.
And I know I've seen that movie as well. I'm sorry. come on, like Russia. That's just mind control. It is. So Serbian film. I have seen it and it's awful. Have you seen a Serbian film?
No, I have heard. I think I remember it being released though.
That's another live that we have to do because it is deeply, deeply disturbing. Actually, no, we'd probably get our Instagram deleted, but it is.
Oh, well, again.
Yeah, well, why not? Nothing but plus sides here. So basically, it lent the movie an air of real mystery, apparently. All
did
these it? Fucking 70s things. Apparently.
Did it?
Apparently. So some eager horror buffs even tried to track the original Antrim down, believing it to be real.
So it wasn't, none of it was real at all.
It doesn't say, but it leans itself on the fact that it is real. So I'm going to do what they do on this article, but we'll do it our way. So there's like a plausibility score. So out of 5, how real do you think this is?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, wow, he really needs to think about it.
Yeah, no, I was like, well, I can't solve this mystery. Can you? Like, to the audience. But see, here's the thing, though. Like, is this really cursed? Because, like, nothing bad happened to the cast and crew. So, like... Like, really, all dogs go to heaven sounds more cursed than this one does.
I really think, like, I think they mean that, like, the actual Antrim itself was real, the video from the 70s.
Okay. No. But no, but, like, there would have been, like, a load of really weird snuff arthouse-y films.
Like,
there was loads
movie.
Of snuff films, and there was like loads of art house films that would have like really loved the idea of purposely trying to make the audience believe that what they were watching was a snuff film, even if it wasn't, or, you know, it was cursed in some way, or do you know the kind of way?
But this came out in 2019.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the film, if we're talking about the film that they supposedly found, you know, like, I could believe that there was actually a film that it was based on, but, like, I doubt it was cursed. Like, what was it of? Like
it doesn't even say, like, so, like, we have to watch
could
the movie.
We watch the movie?
Yeah, we'll do a live. So,
that's
the
research,
next movie.
Boo!
The next movie then that you actually segued us into this pretty well, but then
All Dogs Go to Heaven 3.
No, so this is called Snuff, an American Cannibal, 1976. So the concept of
Cannibale.
Cannibale. Cannibale.
It's Cannibale.
was it clockwise? Counterclockwise.
That way. But with like her decapitated head.
Yeah. So yeah, for those of you who don't know, the concept of a snuff film is a movie.
Film. Depicting... You're so Irish.
Film.
Film. Just put in syllables where they shouldn't
be. The pictures.
Be. Film.
What did I say the other day that Matt cracked up at? I was like, oh, he's going to go get the messages. And he's like,
oh my God, messages. Or me and my brother always made fun of my family, like my mom and dad, because they used to say minerals to mean like a coke, like a can of coke. Oh, the minerals.
Mineral.
Minerals. Yeah. Like, it's nothing like a mineral. Like, calcium.
So yeah, snuff film. It's basically depicting an actual murder. It started in 1971 when Ed Sanders, the author of a book about the Manson family, asserted that Charles Manson and his followers had filmed their killing spree. No footage was found, though, so, you know, take that with a pinch of salt. Mm. So then just a few years later, in 1976, husband and wife directors, this never ends well, Michael and Roberta Findlay, they made a cheap exploitation film called Slaughter, about an actress and her director who were murdered by a Manson family-esque clan in South America. Mm. So Grindhouse film distributor Alan Shackleton, he bought the film, changed the title to Snuff, and released it under the pretense that it depicted like the real murder of the main actress. And then the tagline was filmed in South America where life is cheap. And then this kind of kickstarted a bit of an obsession with snuff films, although none have ever been like conclusively unearthed. Like, you see all this shit on like the dark web and everything, they claim to be real snuff movies.
Yeah, but like, you'd never know whether they were real or not.
I would give it a 4 out of 5. I it could very well be real. No,
well, see, that's the thing, is that, like, I fully believe snuff films do exist.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think that that is one. Do you know?
I don't know.
Like, no, that's a bit on the fucking nose. Like, I just can't see, if it was a real snuff film, can you imagine fucking 20th Century Fox distributing, like, a snuff film and calling it snuff if it was actually a real snuff film?
It was Grindhouse, though.
Yeah, but still, like, Grindhouse still have morals of some kind, like, you know, like...
They employ Tarantino, I don't really think they do.
He's quite a moralistic man. He was celebrating the death of Rush Limbaugh yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Like, he is in ways, but he also just loves to say the N-word at any given opportunity.
Yeah, I also do feel he's really misogynistic, but, like, just no one addresses that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he's a dick, but he's not done anything to kind of, like... Because even when the Harvey Weinstein stuff came out, he was like, that guy's a cunt.
Mm.
Like, and he had, like... Harvey Weinstein, I think, had, like, actually produced a bunch of his movies, or, like, Weinstein Company had. And immediately, because the Weinstein Company are still obviously in effect, and he was just like, no, I'm going to go somewhere else for this. Mm-hmm. But then again, that's just kind of, like, distancing yourself from the, you know.
Yeah, well, see, what I feel about him is, I feel like he, like, is someone who thinks he's, like, really woke and really sound. Mm. But, like, if you challenged him on anything, that he'd go mental, because he'd be like, of course I'm not racist, even though, like, he definitely is a little bit. Do you know that kind of way? Like,
yeah.
I feel like if you accused him of being misogynistic, he'd be like, how dare you? I'm not misogynistic. But it's like, you definitely are a little bit. Do you know?
Hire,
like,
women purely for their feet.
Yeah, well, no, like, honestly, that's what I was thinking. And even I saw an interview with him once where he was asked by, like, a reporter who was like, Margot Robbie is in this film, like, on screen a lot, and she has, like, two lines of dialogue. Like, do you think that that's kind of, you know, like that's, you know, you kind of have her there as, like, a set piece nearly to look at, but, like, there's no depth there and there's no character at all, and, you know, and he, like, went fucking apeshit. But, like, yeah. Margot Robbie was, like, on the panel with him, and she was just kind of like, as if, like, the thought had definitely occurred to her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he went fucking mental at her. So, like, I just feel he's, like, yeah, he'd be one of those. Like, real, like, fragile, like, real, like white fragility, but, like,
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino fragility.
Also, that movie, I'm just going to say this, okay? If Sharon Tate was the type to take her shoes off so her bare feet were up on someone's chair in the cinema, she deserved to be murdered. I'm putting that out there. I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, but I feel like if you look like Margot Robbie, you can totally get away with doing that.
Sharon Tate didn't look like Margot Robbie, though.
I know. But also, did Sharon Tate ever do that?
Maybe she did, in which case... Anyway.
No, I hated that film, though, because it was 3 hours long, and it didn't get good. Like, literally the only good bit...
No, nothing
was,
happened.
No, literally the only good bit is, like, the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, and then you where
go,
it just goes mad.
Ah! I was like, I have to sit through 3 hours. That film better be on this, because that film fucking cursed me, I think.
not in that way, but... Yeah, we can also do a watch of that, and just you guys can watch our souls leave our body.
Once was enough.
Right, so next time.
Next time.
Guys, sorry. Bye. Episode over. So I mean... next move. Next. You wishing so much.
They ain't get away that easily, kids. Come here, Connor and Danny have a story to tell you. This episode is actually probably going to be 2 hours. Just like,
oh, I know. I'm really having fun, though. It's fine. So yeah, the next movie, The Blair Witch Project. I don't know about you guys. All right. I loved it. I loved The Blair Witch Project. Wait, I really liked it.
Are you sure that's the next movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, it's not. I can't read. I told.
There's like a picture, like a really big picture. How did you?
I scrolled. So yeah, the next one is probably the most famous, which is
Poltergeist. That's why I was like, you can't skip this one.
Danny? So yeah, it's the most famous cursed movie of all time, the original 1982 Poltergeist, about a suburban family terrorized by a supernatural presence, climaxed with a scene in which the mom, played by Jo Beth Williams.
Good old Jo Beth.
Is dragged into a partially dug out pool and is surrounded by skeletons. So the reveal being that the housing development in which they live was built on top of the graveyard.
You didn't move the bodies, you just moved the tombstones.
Exactly.
Iconic.
So the rumor was that the film crew had not only used real skeletons, but had desecrated graves themselves to get the skeletons. So I don't know.
Highland vampire situation.
Yeah. So, mysterious and untimely deaths of some of the actors in the trilogy, including young Heather O'Rourke, who played the abducted little girl, Carol Ann, who died at the... That's her. That's her. She did the itchy... The itchy...
Itchy!
The fucking... No, there was a dog called Itchy.
Itchy!
No,
she did Google the itchy. I did the itchy.
No, it was her that was in All Dogs Go to Heaven. Yes, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Basically, young Heather O'Rourke, so she played the little girl. She died at the age of 12 due to...
She features in our theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, rest in peace.
A real one.
Heather O'Rourke. What a name as well. Like, that's such a like starlet's name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Heather
O'Rourke. It's not her. She had an intestinal issue when she was 12.
Yeah.
She
still died really young.
Yeah. And then Dominique Dunn, who played the oldest sibling, Dana, she was murdered, maybe it's her, by a jealous boyfriend at the age of 22.
Yeah.
Led to
in
the
her
urban
garden.
Legend. Yeah, led to the urban legend that the ghosts of the unwitting skeletal co-stars had cursed the films and everyone who worked on them. Okay, right, no. Because if you are laid to rest, right, I would be stoked if I was going to be in a fucking blockbuster Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh, I'd
be
come,
like,
I'd come
hell
back
yeah, I'm just happy
dead.
To be here.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
My moment.
You see me floating by in the background and I'm like, Mom!
I really love that for you.
I know.
I
did the itchy. Yeah, like I don't see why they'd have like vengeful spirits. Like what? Like you're gonna wake up and be like, "Get out of my yard! I just wanted to lie down."
Yeah,
forever.
But Danny, that's because like you and I are fame whoring narcissists who have a podcast. Of course, we want to be in a Hollywood blockbuster. Like, would your aunt Eugenie? Would she like to be in a Hollywood bag? Like, you know, just like being like. Having like Jo Beth swimming in you. Like...
I am a white female aged 18 to 32. Everything I say and do matters.
I really love that you have created your own age bracket in order to still be in there with the 18-year-old.
When people ask me how old I am, I'm like 18
just
to 32.
Extending that all the way right out. 18 to 31 and a half age bracket.
18 to 87.
No, but it is 18 to 35, though, isn't it? Isn't that right?
Yes.
No, it's 18 to 25.
Oh, 18 to 25, and that's 25 to 35.
26 to 34. 35 to...
Oh, yes. Yeah. To like 60. It just
I know, yeah.
There.
Like they really just slot you in, don't they?
They're like, you're old, go here.
You know, while we're on this topic of generational differences, Danny... Can we discuss your mid-parting?
I have a cowlick. So if I try to put a side parting in my hair, it just falls. It just falls back. So I do a middle parting. And then if I'm feeling crazy, I like toss my hair. But I have to go with that. I've just been on a motorcycle look.
Are you not
I
just
can't.
Always tossing your hair? I feel like you never stop. I feel like when you're asleep. Yeah. Like I'd say even as you sleep, you're like knocking it around.
Yeah. I play with my hair all the time, which is why it gets like greasy really quickly.
No,
but yeah, I can. go ahead.
No, you're grand. I was just going to say, for anyone listening who might, you know, live under a bridge, if you managed to miss the 10,000 BuzzFeed articles about it this week,
yeah.
Gen Z have declared the side parting to be unfashionable and old. And they're all about the mid parting.
Sorry.
You are a professional.
I couldn't mute in time. I'm sorry. It just came out.
Oh God, it was okay. So shearing as well. Yeah, so Gen Z are all about their mid-partings, acting as if we didn't all have mid-partings in the 90s and learn from our mistake that they look fucking awful. I have to say, Danny, you have a nice mid-parting. That's the thing, is that I think like it depends on the person. It'll like suit some people's faces and it won't. But I do think for the most part, the middle parting doesn't suit anyone, like very rarely. Like I feel like a side parting suits more people.
I feel like my face is like, I don't know, it's like not symmetrical at all, so it would make more sense to have a side parting to hide the shit part of my face, but it just falls back, so I just have to fucking
which
deal
is
with
the
it.
Shit part of your face,
the
my lower right jaw.
The right side,
like that's not a part, that's like half the face.
Yeah, no, but it's like the reason that I'm so paranoid about the right side of my face is that, like, because I had braces for ages, right? Mm-hmm. And they had to take like 5 teeth out because I had too much like teeth from my mouth, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's like, if I smile on that side of my face at certain points, it just looks like I'm missing a tooth, but it's just really far in.
Oh, okay, I getcha.
So I'm like, if I smile, people genuinely think I'm missing a tooth, whereas this other side, my teeth are really straight and nice. So it's like, I'm just gonna only ever let people see this side.
I've just decided, like, I'm definitely gonna get like dental implants. Like,
oh, same. I really want like veneers.
No, I don't even mean veneers. I mean like I want implants that like will never fall out. Like,
see, I looked into doing that, right? And I don't want to do the one where they like shave your own teeth down into nubs. That's terrifying to me. I want the ones that are like, and they're still veneers. Like, yeah, no, they're still veneers, but they're like acrylic nails for your teeth.
Yeah, they're like a composite veneer. I have those.
Yeah, that's what I want. But I want like all of my teeth that way. I want like those Hillary Duff big fucking horse teeth.
Honestly, when I was watching Younger, I was just hypnotized by them in every scene. I love them. Like, I was just like, oh my God, they're
everyone
perfect.
Makes fun of them. But I like,
think
my
they're
old...
wonderful. Like, anyone who makes fun of those is just jealous. And the thing is, I do have to say that like I hate my teeth, and I don't think that, like, perfect teeth are that important. Like, I actually prefer, I love when like a guy has a little gap tooth, or I love like something kind of distinctive and characteristic. Like, I actually don't like for other people the big bling bling American, I find it kind of off-putting, but I want them for me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, if you were like, oh, I want those, I'd be like, Danny, no, I much prefer your teeth. They're you. They have character, blah, blah, blah. And then you'd be like, oh, thanks, Connor. Are you getting anything with your teeth? And I'd be like, yes, everything. I want them completely removed. And I want, like, fake ones just, like, drilled into my jaw.
I would like a new skull, please.
Oh, my God. That'd be great, to be honest. I do think I need a facelift.
You
and I'm only 30.
Facelift.
I do know, because I used to be fat, and I think like my face was chubby, and then I think it's like a bit droopy, like it
it's
wrinkles
droopy
it
as
wrinkles
all.
Loads when I smile.
You're 30.
I don't tell anyone. Shut up, don't say that loud. I have to go.
Right, so let's get on to
who didn't make it to 30? Heather O'Rourke. Rest in peace, Caroline.
Rip to a real one, Caroline. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Blair Witch Project, we're finally there. So
only 7 more to go.
So horror, a great way for young talents to break into
Sorry.
You That's forgot, the tagline for horror.
You forgot to say is.
No, I'm saying horror, a great way for... I should have paused longer.
Oh, no, you should have just said is.
Okay, fine. Horror
also,
is a great
way...
Also,
can I just point out, I love your supposedly dramatic reading as if I was Connor. Like, it's just like... it's like, I know, me bad, want money now. Me sick.
It still doesn't sound like I'm, like, reading from an Irish book in fucking second class. Like, it's fine. Anyway, I'm not an actor, whatever. So, unless you count the porn, but whatever. So, horror is a great way for
best
young talents
in
to break
life.
Into the business. Shut up.
I'm happy.
So, Blair Witch Project came about at exactly the right time, exploiting the still, I don't know what that word is, nascent? Nascent.
Wait, I haven't. Where are you?
Nascent?
Where are you?
Blair Witch.
Nascent.
Nascent worldwide.
I'm guessing. I'm just basing it based on that's how descent would be.
I'm sure someone will message us and correct us.
Please.
So it managed to cultivate its own urban legend of supposedly lost cam footage that was recovered after a group of young filmmakers went missing.
Mm-hmm. God, do you remember the marketing for that?
I know.
Like,
was
I was
crazy.
Like seven, and like everyone was like obsessed with it, and it was on the radio. Like, there was documentaries being made about it.
They released like this documentary that went with the DVD release, and it was fucking scarier than the movie.
The Bell Witch, yeah.
Yeah. So the conceit of it being filmed on the fly, covered over the fact that you don't really see much of anything, and the clever use of sound effects and the overall kind of like naturalistic performances by the lead actors made you think, like, just for a second, I guess, that maybe this was the real deal. I thought it was real. Of course, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2 came out around a year later to confirm that yes,
oh
this
God,
indeed
that
was just
so bad. That
I hate, like, when people do that. It's like,
did
you got it right.
Did
the
you
first
see
one.
The second one?
Yeah.
It was it's so terrible. Bad.
Like, have you ever seen Grave Encounters?
I have seen it on, like, as in, like, advertised on, not advertised, because they wouldn't put any money into advertising that. I've seen it, like, as an option to select on Netflix.
It's very, very good. It's on
really?
Prime.
It looks terrible.
No, it's fucking great, right? But the first one was amazing. They nailed it. It was so creepy. It was so unnerving. And then they made a second one, which was still
was
supposed
like,
to be...
The Return of Mary Beth. Like, yeah, something like really stupid and basically unrelated to the original. Like,
it was still supposed, like, okay, the first Grave Encounters is like a group of like ghost hunters like filming for a TV show, and they go to this abandoned asylum, and like they're kind of acting like they don't even believe in ghosts. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's really fucking good. Like, it's so like, it's such a gradual build, and there's like little tiny things like old wheelchairs in the corridor, and like it'll just move a tiny bit and you're like, ugh. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then like they had this next one where it's like this guy is being possessed by a fucking demon, and there's like
Mary
flashing Beth. Strobe lights, and just, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't need to do it. You had it right the first time. If you were going to make another movie, just make a different movie. Why does it have to be Grave Encounters?
Yeah, no, but see, that's the thing though. It was probably like almost completely unrelated, but it's a way to get the audience back. Because if that was, the first one was really well received, people liked it. People see Grave Encounters 2. There's like an association that they're like, oh, this will be good as well. Do you know? Like, so it's purely just, and that's what the Blair Witch thing was. I'm sorry. Like, I refuse to believe, like, the original Blair Witch. Okay. Like, looking back on it now, it's a bit shit. I was scared watching it. Now, in fairness, I was like 8 when I saw it, but I was like really scared because there is a real thing I find in horror that like it, like the unknown is scarier than like when something is revealed. Like it's the unknown. You don't know what she looks like. It's very shadowy and there's kind of movement in the corner, and you know, like that kind of like that whole idea of the not knowing is terrifying, and that's why it worked. Even though, like, it's actually really boring when you also think of it, like, now, like, in hindsight, it was pretty boring. But, like, the second one, like, I would not be shocked at all if, like, I recommend anyone, like, to watch it for pure hilarity. I mean, like, it's absolutely hilarious. And I remember I saw it on DVD, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they just wrote this film. And the movie studio was just like, oh, let's just call it Blair Witch 2 to get the audience back. Like, it had nothing to do, like, I think at one scene in it, they lie on in a graveyard and briefly discuss the Blair Witch. But like, I'm pretty sure now it's years since I've seen it, like 15 years, if not more, that I've seen it, that I have. I'll need to watch it again. I think that's the only connection. I don't think there's anything else remotely got to do with it. But when I watched it, it was on DVD. DVDs had like just come out. And they had like a special feature that they had hidden subliminal messages and clues throughout the film, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so the whole idea was you should watch the film and keep an eye out for them and see if you can spot them. But like, they were so stupid. But then in the special featurette, it would reveal them. And like, one of them was literally that they were sitting, it was that scene in the graveyard I was talking about. They're sitting around the grave, they're telling the Blair Witch story or whatever. And in one shot, a girl is lying on a grave that has the name on the grave is Treacle. Okay, like the caramel, right? Treacle. And then it cuts away to another character talking, and then it cuts back to her, and the name on the grave has changed to Further. But like, how is that a subliminal message? Treacle Further.
More like, caramel.
No, like, this is like, it had nothing, like, it had nothing to do with anything. It was so stupid. And like, I remember being like, yeah, but what is the message? Like, what is it trying to tell us?
This is the thing with that, though, is like, if they had have just missed that off, people probably still would argue over the fact that, is the Blair Witch Project real? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just completely ruined everything they could have had with it.
Oh, well, like, apparently now, like, the...
Have you seen the remake, actually? The remake's very good.
Yes, I have.
They go to find... It's like her brother.
Yeah.
It's more like I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
And you actually see the witch and she's fucking scary, man.
Well, the thing is, apparently when the Blair Witch came out... and your one Heather, and like, obviously it was her real name that was in it. I was coming on her Heather Mooney, but that's Janina Garofalo's character from Romy and Michelle by Screen. And it's just like her people were so convinced that it was real. Like, she was getting flowers sent to her house from like distant friends who had heard that her daughter had died.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, isn't that mental? Like, yeah. I imagine her being like, bitch, that was a film. Like, she's an actress. Like, mental.
So, out of five, this being possibly real, just basically wipe the second one from your mind. The possibility of this being real.
But we know it's not. We just discussed
it at
length.
I know, but you have to say, like, if you'd watched this, right, and you don't know that it's not real. That's the whole thing.
No, but you see, this is where I go back to the thing that we had about that earlier film, about Snuff, is that if a movie studio, or no, like...
You still don't know if that's real or not.
No, but the thing is, here's how I know this Blair Witch Project couldn't have been real. Now, maybe when I was 8, I would have believed it was real. But as, like, a grown-up who knows how the world works, if 3 filmmakers went into the woods and went missing and their footage was found... Is any movie studio in the world going to touch that and release to cinemas like the last known footage of 3 people before they died? That is so many lawsuits by those families waiting to happen.
People have no souls, right? They will take a hold of that and then they will release that. But what's
GDPR, Danny? GDPR.
No, but like, what I mean is, what's worse about that is that you would have to get clauses from the family. So if this was real and this was released, the family would have had to be like, yeah, okay, you can film my daughter getting murdered.
The thing
that's
is, like,
what
I
makes it worse.
I know, like that, but that's the thing is that I could understand it if it was a thing that, you know, they found the last footage and they wanted to make a documentary about these 3 filmmakers who went missing. Fair enough, I can see that being made. Because first of all, that's a fucking amazing documentary. I would watch that. But for it to be framed as a horror film for people's entertainment, like, there's no way the families could ever agree to that. And I just can't see a film executive touching it, like, to release it for entertainment purposes. That's not like they're the subject of a documentary, you know.
All right, well,
I wish it did happen. I wish it had happened, and I wish that we had that documentary, because, oh my god, like, this podcast would only be about discussing, like, I would actually be obsessed with that case. Like, I would actually never stopped thinking about it. Like,
On that note, moving on. So,
no, I can't stop thinking about the imaginary case.
So the next movie on our list is The Omen, which
the picture
I
here
love.
Is hilarious, by the way.
I know.
I was like, oh, is it Dracula? And I was like, nope.
The weird priest.
Yeah.
Producer Harvey Bernard claims that the initial idea for the seminal horror classic The Omen came from an advertising exec named Bob Munger. Cool name. So Munger suggested that a movie about the Antichrist would be cool, but that no one should actually make it because the devil was at work and he didn't want that film made. Like, he sat down with him and he's like, bruh. Hey, bro, can I make this movie?
Two things. The devil would only be mad about that film. And secondly...
Yeah.
Wasn't it a book? So, like, that's a lie. I think that was a book, Danny.
It was a book first.
Yeah, so, like,
Exorcist.
It's like, the idea came from, like, use this fucking advertising executive. I was like, no, the idea came from the author who wrote the book.
Like, but yeah, on that same note, because I know that the producers and stuff of The Exorcist had said that the devil absolutely wanted that movie made.
Mm.
That was happening. Yeah, like, I would. Like, do you know what I mean? If I was the devil, I'd be like, yeah, fucking make a movie about me.
That's my boy!
Yeah, make me 3 feet taller. But yeah, so, he said he didn't want it made. I don't know, so... According to this article, I don't agree.
Bob Munger apparently knows the devil so fucking well. No, he told me he didn't want it made.
Yeah, like, stop, guys. So just a month before the filming was due to start, the lead actor, Gregory Peck, I had a buddy named Gregory Peck,
I
just so you guys know.
Love Gregory Peck. Like, I'm sorry. I know he's dead, but I still would. Like, oh my God. Atticus Finch. Fucking hell. Yes.
Just a month before it was due to start filming, Gregory's son actually committed suicide.
Oh, no.
Yeah. As he flew to the set, his plane was struck by lightning. And the then executive producer, Mark Newfield, his plane was also struck by lightning. Like, when does that fucking happen?
Yeah, literally, lightning shouldn't strike twice.
Two planes.
Also, the odds of that even happening once are apparently so low. Like,
yeah.
Has it ever happened since? I don't think so. I think it's like the only two times that has ever happened.
So then the hotel that Newfield and his wife were staying in, it got bombed by the IRA.
Danny, why would you do that?
I'm sorry, guys. Everybody knows that I'm very, very Republican.
Here's the thing, though. Like, is this film the best project for Gregory Peck to be involved in? I mean, his son has just killed himself, and now he's making a film about his evil son who he has to, you know, kill at one point. And, like, there's some real... Like, a lot of people kill themselves in that movie, don't they? Like, the nanny throws herself out the window at the birthday party, which, like, iconic scene, by the way. Like,
oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Over you,
oh, like, that's one of my favorite scenes in any movie ever. Like, if I ever did it, like, that.
It would be like that.
Like, you know. Look at me, everyone. Like, So is this really the best project for him? Like, I just feel like he should do something a bit lighter, maybe a month after.
No, exactly. Like, this is what I will say, without sounding like a total fucking crackpot, but having like dealt with spirits and with shit like this, it grabs onto you when you're at your most vulnerable. So me, I struggle with my mental health quite a bit. When I'm very down, I am plagued. Like, it's a lot, and it kind of gets hard to like block it out, so I can't even imagine like giving the like subject matter of the movie and how he was feeling himself that it was in any way enjoyable for him to film, you know. I can't like imagine how he felt. It was probably really fucking bad for him, and his mental health was probably just in the fucking toilet. Even like worse after it, after doing the project. And to be honest, I don't know why he would have stayed on it. Like, would you have? I wouldn't have been able to.
No, like it just the subject matter of it. When you experience a loss like that, like, for some people, the way to get over it is to just, crack get on, lost yeah. in a project, or like, you know, sometimes yeah. they need it. But like, I just think the subject matter, like, his son just killed himself, and now he has to do a film where like people are killing themselves and dying, and like the final scene is going to be you trying to stab your child, and the child's like, daddy no, like, can you imagine, like, no, like, oh no, like,
I guess he just wasn't associating the two, do you know what I mean?
How could he not have associated the two?
I don't know, like, people cope in different ways, like, I absolutely couldn't do what he did,
no,
you know, but I mean, he had his reasons and stuff, and probably fucking made a lot of money out of The Omen, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, maybe he owed a lot of money to someone and didn't have a choice.
They're going to take my thumbs!
Well, he's getting older, he's getting less castable, do you know? Like, what was he in after that, really? Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, the two things I really know him for are To Kill a Mockingbird and The Omen.
Yeah, I've only ever seen those two, to be fair. I know the name, like, is really famous.
Like, oh, I haven't even seen To Kill a Mockingbird, because like, I read the book, but like, the film is just so long, and like, it looks annoying, do you know? I don't like the visuals in it.
Teaches
you
absolutely nothing about killing mockingbirds. Sure, it taught you how to not judge a man by the colour of his skin, but what good does that do me?
One time, I was really, really, really hungover, and it was shortly after...
One time?
One time I was really hungover, and it was shortly after the book Go Set a Watchman came out, which is like, was kind of like not a sequel to To Kill a Mockingbird. Have you heard of it? And so basically,
no.
After Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, died.
I was going to ask, I was like, is it Harper Lee? Sorry.
Yeah, but kind of, but also no. So they basically found these old drafts of To Kill a Mockingbird, okay, which is basically similar but like also very, very different, okay, and it was old drafts or whatever, but basically her estate took those and like rewrote it to be like a sequel, okay, so it was kind of half written by Harper Lee and kind of half not, but also it was something that Harper Lee absolutely wouldn't have wanted released to the world, otherwise she would have released it in like the fucking 50 years previously that she had to release it, like it was a draft, so it was very controversial it was released at all, and also it kind of portrays Atticus Finch in as kind of an asshole and stuff, like it's just a, like a completely different book but also very similar, but it was called Go Set a Watchman, okay, and I think similarly enough to, you know, how To Kill a Mockingbird comes from something Atticus says in To Kill a Mockingbird, the Go Set a Watchman is some phrase he says in the second book or whatever. But one day I was like really, 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 really hungover, and I was lying on my couch, and all that I could hear in my head over and over was just this voice going, Go Set a Watchman. Go Set a Watchman. Go Set a Watchman. Over and over. Like I was actually feeling nauseous from listening to it. I just couldn't make my brain. It was like OCD, but like, I didn't even have like a count that I could stop it. It was, I just couldn't stop saying it to myself on repeat in my head. And I was like ready to smash my skull open against the floor.
Oh God.
This is a cry for help.
I think so.
Go Set a Watchman.
Right. I'm going to carry on. So the crew, they hired a small plane to do some aerial photography.
Oh, that's nice. But
I know, but it was given to another client at the last minute.
That's bad.
That plane crashed.
That's bad.
And killed everyone on board.
Fuck right? you.
That's the third plane incident. And then filming a zoo sequence, the young boy playing Damien, he apparently pissed off the baboons. Look, whatever.
Was really annoying, yeah.
Yeah, so much that they started freaking out. So, and animal wrangler was called in to help. Mm-hmm. So the next day he was mauled by a tiger. The wrangler.
Okay, yeah, well obviously not the child. Release the film anyway. This film was also produced by the same studio who released, you know, Snuff and the Blair Witch Project. Just release the film. It doesn't matter if they died. Release it.
that scene where they're all actually freaking out, that's real. They were just like, fuck this white kid. Like,
to be honest, though, he has a real look at him. Do you know? Like, he's
he doesn't act. He's just like, he doesn't walks have around. To.
I think he's. Face. Oh, but I wouldn't be shocked if, like, you met him and he was still a child. Like, he's not a human. Like, like, he's still that fucking riding hat. And I was like, oh, yep. Something wrong with you.
So the most chilling result of this.
What? We're not even there yet.
No.
Oh my God.
What happened to the special effects supervisor, John Richardson?
What happened to the special effects supervisor, John Richardson?
One of his big sequences in The Omen, right?
Yeah.
Which was one in which a character is decapitated by a sheet of glass.
Yes,
remember that?
The photographer.
And the head, like, spins. Yeah.
Yeah.
So while working on his next movie in the Netherlands, Richardson and his assistant were involved in a car accident, and his assistant was decapitated.
No.
So legend has it that the accident occurred near a street sign that read Omen 66.6 kilometers.
No.
That's all coincidence, obviously. Yeah. I think 5 out of 5, that's real. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we can't argue with the official records of the planes being struck and the plane crashing and everyone dying and that man being mauled to death by the tigers and that the monkeys are, you know, filmed on camera freaking out and that that man is dead from the decapitation. Like, we can't argue with these things because they're well-established facts.
At what point are you not just like, all right, I get it, okay. That's fine. We're calling it. We're not filming this movie. I would be out the fucking door.
But you see, the thing is, Danny, these are all like, it's very easy when reading this, like, really compiled together. But like, if the filming was happening over, like, say 4 months, which isn't unusual from start to finish, and like, this thing happened, oh God, just another hiccup, like, oh God, just another, and then it like, like, you don't know the sequence in which they happened. Like, it probably just started off small. And then it's only, like, at the end with the decapitation one that it's, like... And then, like, the film is probably already finished, you know, at that point. So that you have to release it because you've spent all the fucking money, so you have to make it back. The only
Can I just point out that we're already an hour and 5 minutes and we said this is going to be short. So we'll just do 3 more. 3 of the big ones.
Yeah, you've had enough of me, haven't you? Have you done any...
Yeah, I'm sick of you. Anyway, go on.
No, I was just going to say that, like, it's funny, though, because it says, like, oh, you know, a plane was hired to do some aerial photography, it was given to another client at the last minute, and that plane crashed on takeoff and everyone on board died. Like, sounds like it was kind of a good thing that they didn't get that plane was given away. Do you know the kind of way? Like, that's actually, like, a near miss. Do you know? Like, that's... That's almost as if God was, like, fighting back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like, no.
But then he just wasn't bothered about the rest of me. He was like, I've done my bit. I tried to help.
So we'll jump into then one that I think everybody kind of knows about this, which is the crow. Mm. So what's kind of unique about the curse of the crow is that it isn't so much about the film as it is an extension of a curse that's believed to have haunted martial arts icon Bruce Lee and his family for generations. So I've heard this, like, as a kid, I remember my brother telling me that Bruce Lee had a demon. And
what
I think
a horrible
this was,
childhood
like,
you had.
But you know what I mean? Like, it was
go to sleep, like, Danny! Dream of Bruce Lee's demon.
But I'd heard about it. So, 1994 horror-tinged comic book adaptation is infamous due to the tragic death of Brandon Lee, Bruce's son.
I actually never knew that was Bruce Lee's son.
Really?
No.
Oh!
Yeah. Was Bruce Lee not Asian?
Yeah.
Because Brandon Lee doesn't look...
He has an American wife.
Because Brandon Lee doesn't look remotely Asian. Like, not even remotely.
Mixed, I guess. He just kind of took more after
his mama. No, but usually just, you know, whichever one... Because, like, white people are also boring looking. That normally, when you're a mixed race child, you tend to have more of a look of, you know, the more interesting looking race, let's say, than stupid. White people are like, you know, like, you remember in Pokemon when you'd mate your Pokemon together, and like, white people are like ditto, you know, that you could just mate any Pokemon with them and you'd get that Pokemon. Yeah. You know, that's what, like white people are like.
A Hollywood actress, I think. She was, like, really, like, pretty, whatever. But,
No, yeah, that's why I'm just shocked, because I know, Brandon Lee was a babe, like, and not that, like, Asian men aren't babes, just, like, I know what his face looks like, and I would have never, very shocking to me.
Yeah, so it's, he died basically after a prop gun misfired.
Oh, I know.
And a projectile struck him. So the film was hampered by like setbacks and accidents. So the set was destroyed.
Like the number one being the star died on set. Oh, damn it. I hope this isn't the start of something bad. Moving, scene two.
So it was destroyed multiple times, most notably by a hurricane that struck its North Carolina filming location. I know, what are the odds? But in general, the problem seemed to have been caused mostly kind of by the fact that it was like low budget, it was behind schedule.
But like what's freaky about that though is that in The Crow, wasn't he electrocuted during a storm?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird that like a storm, like a
hurricane. I haven't seen that since I was a kid, so I couldn't.
I'm pretty sure he's definitely electrocuted anyway.
Someone will tell us.
No, wait. It's not during a storm though, because that's why he goes on his revenge, because he's killed. So maybe.
Yeah, because don't they kill him in a fight and his girlfriend? They like.
Well, he definitely gets electrocuted. 100%.
Maybe. So they cut a bunch of corners in filming this. It was very like low budget and rushed. So
they do that even on big budget films then.
I know. But some actually claim that the Chinese mafia assassinated Bruce and Brandon, which is like eerie when you think about the fact that Bruce Lee's last film, Game of Death, seemed to predict this. So in that movie, Bruce's character is martial arts actor shot by an assassin posing as one of the stunt crew.
That's a bit meta now, isn't it?
A little bit, right?
Like, what are the chances that like he'd have made that film? Like, who wrote that film? Why is that a film?
So also the biopic then, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Mm-hmm. I've seen it as well.
Yeah.
Anthropomer. I don't know what that word is. Connor, help.
Anthropomorphizes
the supposed family curse as a physical demon. See, I need help to get up onto the ledge and then I'm fine. The supposed family curse as a physical demon that haunts Lee his whole life. Can relate. And at the one point in the film, the demon goes after young Brandon. So Dragon was released in 1993, which was a year before The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you are Bruce Lee and that demon is chasing you all of your life and it gets you, it stays within the bloodline and the family. So it makes sense that it would go after Brandon.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is it a demon? Is it the Chinese mafia? Did the Chinese mafia summon the demon? Like,
we don't know.
What, like, you know, can they do that? Do they do that? I'm kind of afraid to discuss them.
Yet we will discuss Russia in every episode.
They're so far away, though. Like, what are they going to do? You know, like, it's like, yeah, with like this Chinese mafia and like in every country, like this Chinese mafia in Ireland.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm more afraid of them. But also, they don't bother me, so I don't really mind them. Like, let them keep doing what they're doing. What are they? They're not really hurting anyone, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, they probably are, but we just don't know about it.
Yeah, but like, only really people that wrong them, though. So, like, you know, just don't wrong them.
Yeah, if you don't like, piss the mafia off,
like,
you're
no,
fine.
To be perfectly honest, I'm like, I don't fear the mafia because they seem grand, like. No, but they seem fine. Like, they don't bother anyone. It doesn't bother them. So I'm just not bothering them.
It's the fact as well that people fear the IRA, but they shouldn't. Like, they literally take thieves out, put them in roundabouts, strip them naked, and make them stand there with signs
what you're
saying,
doing, what you're doing is called...
Join the IRA! What you're doing is called... Ivan Netria!
What you're doing is called revisionism. And I will not stand for it on this podcast. Go marry anyway. Jerry Adams!
I would.
Do you know, he is quite handsome.
So sexy.
I do find him quite handsome.
Like, you know that picture of Jerry Adams with his ice cream hopping over the gate? I wish I was either the gate or the ice cream.
Like, I just think he's got like, oh my God, can you be one and I'll be the other?
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Let's have a three-way with Jerry Adams.
I mean, I want to say no, but if it was real life and it was offered, I would definitely not say
For the good of Fermanagh, you can't say no.
Oh, who cares about there?
Yeah, no one cares about Fermanagh.
Yeah. Anyway, or Antrim, apparently, the most cursed place on earth, according to this list.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, out of five, what would you give this of being real? I would say...
I'm giving this a high one. I'm giving this like 4 or 5.
I would say 5 because I definitely believe in the family curse. And that mafia idea is actually plausible because he's a big fucking famous movie star. Maybe he owed the mafia money. You know?
Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know. Maybe they just like... The Chinese mafia just summoned that demon to the Lee family because, I don't know, they just didn't like all the attention he was bringing onto them. Like, had he made a film... With the Chinese
mafia
in it.
He was like famous, not with the mafia in it.
No, I know who Bruce Lee is. Had he made a film? Oh, God.
He was Bruce Lee.
No, but had he made a film where, like, I don't know, maybe they were depicted as being like the bad guys? Like, he made martial arts movies. Was there a film where they were doing something bad and he had to defeat them? And maybe they just weren't.
Not that I know of. But then I'm not versed.
Yeah, but like very easily that could have been the plot of all his films. And not that I know of, but that means nothing.
I mean, he fought a bunch of people every time. So.
Yeah. But
I
like.
I don't know.
Was. Okay.
The subtitles and shit, I don't read. I just like to look at the kicking.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would give it a 5. Cool. So, yeah. The next one, we're going to go to the big one. The Exorcist.
Yes.
Yeah, so we all know a lot about this. I think even if you're not a big horror fan, you still know a lot about this movie. Mm. So, if the devil really does exist, he does seem to spend a lot of time on film sets. I mean, I would too.
He's trying to make it in Hollywood. Like,
yeah.
He got to do what he got to do.
If you could, like, basically go anywhere and there was a bunch of people, like, making movies about you, you would show up on set and be like, not really.
I would never wear that.
I don't
I would
want her
never
to play
say
her.
That. Yeah.
Like, that's not going to play me. That kid would never be my son.
Rumor has it he was most delighted with Liz Hurley's performance as him in Bedazzled.
No, that wasn't Liz Hurley. That was the actual devil. That was actually Satan.
He had
like
tied up Liz Hurley in the back.
I
not
am
today,
doing...
Liz.
No, but to this day,
Liz can't make it. She asked me to finish.
To this day, that's how I see the devil. It's just Liz Hurley.
Oh my God!
Liz Hurley,
like,
harassing Brendan Fraser.
I think that film might be why I am gay now. I think I wanted to be Liz Hurley as
yes,
the devil.
That, like, oh, anything red that she was wearing.
Oh,
was
the feathers! Oh. And the, yeah, like,
oh, I love her.
Stunning. If we do ever make the Scream Queens movie, patent pending, like the final scene, we will be wearing some real Elizabeth Hurley devil numbers.
Oh, she is the reason that I'm bisexual. That was when I knew that I wanted to fuck her.
See, but that's like, the thing is, that's for, I don't know whether it was because of her or whether it was just around the same time that it would happen. But like, I wanted to be her. Like, I was like, she's beautiful, she's sexy, she's wearing these amazing outfits, she's real sassy, mm-hmm. She talks like this. Like, I was like, I want,
she's so
everything
well
I want
spoken.
To be.
Like,
everything
yeah, she's incredible. But anyway, so this next
Liz Hurley's movie. Not in The Exorcist. Or is she?
Is she? So yeah, before The Omen tempted fate with shooting, like, every day, William Friedkin's The Exorcist experienced its own unnerving incidents. Mm. So, telling the story of two priests battling a demonic presence that has taken hold of a young girl named Regan McNeil.
All I can say, though, is, like,
that name. We were gonna go if we. I'm just gonna interrupt you. Sorry. If we were gonna get Kubrick, before we got Kubrick, we wanted to get a girl, and I wanted to call her Regan.
After a certain person we know.
Oh fuck! I didn't even think of that.
Do you know like? Oh no, I can't tell the story.
But
Regan is a lovely name. I actually have always liked it. But like, I don't think I can do that now. But strangely enough, though, I've always really liked the name Blair.
I love the name Blair. Yeah.
And so like.
And like, Linda.
There's a chance. No, oh, fuck Linda. I'm sorry.
Linda.
I am sorry. Anyone who looks at their baby and names it Linda, like, should have the baby just immediately removed from their care. I'm sorry. Like, how dare you? So, like, imagine if I ended up with a daughter named Regan and a daughter named Blair. Like, someone would be like, are you the devil? Like, what is going on?
I'm Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, yeah. Meet my wife, Elizabeth.
This is my son, Hugh Grant.
Also, what I really love is that she was known as Liz Hurley then, but now she goes by Elizabeth, I think. Like, yeah, like people,
she's getting on
as she's
years.
As she's older, people are like, no, we must give her more respect.
She was on the UK Drag Race like 2 weeks ago, and she still looks incredible.
Oh yeah, well, she like, but here's the thing, even when she was young, she looked like a really well preserved older person. Do you know that kind of way? Like
her in Austin Powers, incredible.
Oh yeah, but she looked like a really hot 45-year-old, but she was like 25. Do you know the kind of way? Like some people just have that where it's like they never like, and I'm not saying she looked old, like because she was obviously stunning and gorgeous. Like it's not that she looked old, but she just didn't have the face of like a young girl.
Yeah.
Do you know, she had a mature face. So she's always looked like that. And I've known a few people. My old boss, she was a bitch anyway, so I don't care. But she, like when I first started, I was like 16, and I honestly thought she was like 45, but like looking well and the fab body and the fab outfit. She was a bit of a Liz Hurley, like to be honest.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, she's about 45, but she's had, or going on 50, but she's had like a lot of work done. And she was 29.
29?
Yeah. But she just, it was just whatever way her face was. It just didn't have a youthful young girl's, young woman's face. It was just, she just looked like a really hot older woman.
Yeah.
I also went to school with a girl who, when we were like 16, my friend was like, she is going to be the hottest MILF. And I was like, oh my God, she will be. She doesn't look like a 16-year-old girl. She looks like a really hot 40-year-old woman.
What? Right. So let's finish this then.
Okay.
So the story, basically, two priests battling a demonic presence that has taken hold of a young girl.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I actually stopped that to say that the film sounds so much more exciting than it actually is. Like, I actually, every time I've tried to watch it, oh my God, I watched it once in full, and every time it's been like on TV and I've just put it on, I've just completely lost interest. It's so boring. I think it's so boring. Except when the face flashes up and scares the fucking shit out of you for no reason.
I love it, but it is, again, quite a slow burn. But people say that about The Shining, which is my favourite movie. It is quite slow.
Do you love The Shining for the plot or for like the aesthetics and how it's made? Like, that's the thing, is that I don't think The Shining is great in terms of plot, because like nothing much really happens. Like,
no, I love it. I feel like when you've got an actor like Jack Nicholson who basically portrays everything that's happening just on his face and his actions.
Oh
like,
yeah, no, but that's what I mean. So
it's incredible.
It's like how it's made, like it's how it looks, it's how the acting is, it's all that stuff. Like, I think it's a great film in that respect, but I just think the plot is severely lacking. And so does Stephen King, by the way, because like half, like not even a quarter of the book is in the film. Do you know that kind of way?
Oh,
and
yeah,
there's no like exposition, and there's no explanation, and there's no, you know, it's but stunning looking, stunningly made.
Oh yeah, like it was made. But like, that's the thing, is that like Jack Torrance, like he is the plot, and the fact that he casts somebody like Jack Nicholson who was able to kind of convey all that, like, just kind of kept me hooked on it. And I know Stephen King, he really didn't enjoy it.
Well, it's just not his story. It's the same in, like, name alone, and, like, involves a hotel that a guy goes crazy in. But that's, like, the similarity.
He said that, like, he says, like, Jack seems crazy, like, from the beginning. But he's, like, it's a very, because I've read the book as well. But he said it's, like, a very gradual, like, process throughout the book that he slowly loses his mind, whereas if you go to even Jack Nicholson in the office accepting the job, and you can just tell he's fucked up. So he's like, it didn't kind of do any justice to the actual story.
But even just, like, the story of the hotel in the past and stuff that's in the book, like, none of that, like, it's kind of hinted at that in the film, but, like, it's not actually.
But
yeah,
you can't, I mean, like,
Stephen King writes
in so much detail.
Oh, my God. You know? It's like you telling a story about meeting a raccoon. I know. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I am an artiste. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a certain amount that you're kind of like, as a filmmaker, you're just going to have to look at that and be like, what the fuck can I cut out of this? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he could have put something into
it. I know. Like, it wasn't.
No, but, like, it's called The Shining, and you barely see any demonstration of Danny's shining abilities. Like, it's, like it's not touched upon at all, like it is in the book. You know, the kind of, so, like, why was it called that at all? Absolutely. Do you know, like,
Like, I completely agree with you, like.
But it's still a really good film. Like, again, like I said, I enjoyed the aesthetics of it, the cinematography of it, the attention to detail is just Kubrick's whole thing.
Separate it from the book, do you know what I mean? I just go as, like, this is a Kubrick movie.
It's to be enjoyed for what it is in terms of the style and the, and it's...
Yeah, and I mean, it's the case of where the book is always better than the movie. Like, always. And that's just pretty much a fucking given.
So I think, I can't think of anything off the top of my head because I've had two glasses of wine, which isn't a lot, but I haven't really eaten today. it's like, normally that's, like, nothing to me. I can't think of them in this moment exactly, but I'm going to go away and think of it over the next week. And I'm just going to randomly shout them next week into the podcast that I actually know of a couple of instances where the movie has been better than the book, or that at least I've enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
But I just can't think of it right now.
We'll get to that. So
you need to just send me a text during the week and just remind me and be like, Connor, remember you said this. Have you thought about that? What were they? Just have them ready.
The Exorcist. So some people
thought
that the film itself was actually possessed. Things got off to a rocky start when the McNeil family, they're like the set, their home set, basically. It basically was destroyed by a massive fucking fire. So the only room that was untouched by the blaze was Regan's, which is fucking creepy. It hadn't got a mark. The rest of the set,
and that's like the most important set piece as well. Like, that's shady.
So I know. So in addition, almost all of the actors suffered pretty severe injuries during the film, and televangelist Billy Graham even claimed that there is a power of evil in that film, in the fabric of the film itself.
Yeah, but like, he's a televangelist, so, like,
I know,
girl, like, shut
Linda
up.
Televangelista.
Like, yeah. I think that, like, if there's any evil in this world, it's televangelists. like if they say black, I will say white, just out of pure spite. Like, I'm just like, no. If they say, it's like, my mom does this thing that when she's voting on, like, a referendum, she always does the opposite of what Sinn Féin says to do, because she maintains that Sinn Féin don't have. I know you wouldn't like that, but she maintains Sinn Féin do not have the best interests of this country at heart, and anything they want is something I don't want. So that's how, like, she decided on how she was going to vote on, like, the Nice Treaty and the Lisbon Treaty and the Lisbon Treaty again. A bit, but, like, she gave birth to me, so is that really shocking? I'm wearing a silk kimono as we I'm drinking red wine as we speak. I'm the most West Brit ever right now. Like, I basically might as well be eating a shepherd's pie.
Yeah, your mom's a Protestant. Let's move on with this. So,
she will roll over in her fingerless grave and try to crawl out, but she won't do well because she has no fingers.
Let me get to this.
She just used her robot neck to punch a hole.
Gabble. Shut up.
You always promised you'd never actually gabble.
Gabble. Right? So Billy, even...
Billy! is dead. I'm a good girl. I'm trying to eat my lunch.
Fuck off. I have to leave.
Billy is dead. Set burnt down around him.
Connor, shut up.
You're the one being fucking McGarnagle, okay.
So he suggested that simply projecting it was like opening a door for demons.
I see that.
Yeah. So the movie held its premiere in Rome during a violent thunderstorm, which was one attendee even passed out and broke her jaw. What way do you fall?
On her own fist faint? By the sides of it.
Alright, okay. First of all, who faints? Is it the fucking 40s?
Did she hit her? Yeah, first of all, can I just say, who faints, right?
Who faints? But also,
secondly, so my blood pressure, but also, like, did she hit her jaw against, like, the arm of the chair? Like, that's the only thing that I can imagine was, like, projecting out. But also,
she passed it and broke it.
I love that they had that in Rome. Like, they did that so on purpose to piss off the Vatican. Yeah. Like, you just know it. But I also love that there was, like, a massive storm.
With your one, right? With your one breaking her jaw. This is the best part of this, right? She later attempted to sue the production because she blamed subliminal messages for her fall.
Fall.
Right? Like, excuse me, I have to let my cat in because he heard his name. Kubrick, hello.
You haven't said it. You said it like 20 minutes ago.
But he's very slow and tired.
Yeah, no, I think you're just—you're definitely trying to make him seem obedient. But
right, next movie and final movie is one of my favorite horror movies, Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, that's why we're ending on it, is it?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Do you know, it's actually one of the ones that I haven't seen, but it's so embedded in pop culture that I know everything about it. Like
I don't think you'd like it because it's, again, another one of those very slow burners.
He has his father's eyes.
Legit.
I'm naked. So, yeah. No, I am. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know absolutely everything about it. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah. So, Rosemary's Baby, it's credited with redefining the horror genre by taking it away from, like, cobwebs, castles, Vincent Price. Mm. Yes, my grandson, Jody.
You love being Vincent Price, don't
egg
you?
Magic with Vincent Price. From beyond the grave. Yes.
Do you remember when Vincent Price did the voice of a character? Do you remember he did a voice of a character for that TV show that was like the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo?
No.
Do you remember that? He literally played like himself as a character. He was like hanging out with like Daphne and Shaggy.
I really don't remember.
No, I did not invent this TV show.
I think he did.
So no.
Anyway, okay. Mia Farrow and John Cassavetes star in the horror of a young mother-to-be who moves into a New York apartment building that also happens to house a satanic cult because it's New York and why isn't it? So producer William Castle, who was infamous in the 50s and 60s for promoting all sorts of gimmicks like floating skeletons and like rumbling theater
oh my
seats.
God, it was so easy to entertain people back then.
I know.
Look, it's floating. Faint, it's jaw.
This was in an effort to sell kind of the reality of horror movies. So he
did a great job with the floating skeleton. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. So he believed that real witches had cursed the set. So
why?
The film composer.
Why? Why would they do that? For what? Yeah. What purpose?
I guess I don't know.
No, but it's just like it's not like the film is about witches. Like it doesn't make sense that they would do anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, the film's composer, he suffered a nasty fall shortly after the movie wrapped and he died after being comatose for several days.
Oh God, I was about to laugh. Oh God, that's
I know,
sad.
I don't know what happened. So he Castle fell. Himself then, he fell ill, I can relate to this, with painful gallstones. I've had my gallbladder removed and he required surgery. So it is very fucking painful. Mm. And of course then, director Roman Polanski's wife at the time, Sharon Tate, represents. Sharon Tate and their unborn child, they'd fall victim to the Manson.
Wait, who was Sharon Tate in Rosemary's Baby?
She's not in it. She's Roman Polanski who directed
it. Oh, who directed it. Of course, of course. No, for a minute there, I was like, that's Mia Farrow. I was like, what is going on with this list? Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, sorry, I'm just a bit drunk, yeah.
But yeah, so if we go back to The Exorcist, out of that being real, out of 5, I would give that a 4, I think.
Right, so can I just ask, why did we go to Rosemary's Baby then back to The Exorcist?
Because I forgot to do the rating.
Oh.
I'm profesh.
I'm giving it a 3.
I would give The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby?
The Exorcist.
Yeah. I would give The Exorcist about a 3. Mm-hmm. Rosemary's Baby, I would give about a 2.
Yeah, I'm giving it a low one because I agree. Yeah, I also. Yeah. I agree. I also agree. I did the itchy. Oh my god.
So you guys, this actually we're finishing on an hour and a half, so it's still shorter.
I was actually, Danny, I was gonna say I really think we should do the last one because that is the only one rated 5 out of 5 for being for sure cursed. So I really think we have a duty to do this one.
Right. Atuk or ATUK or AT. What? I don't know how to say that. What is it?
How do I know?
ATUK. So basically, it's not a horror film, but it's a movie that's believed to be so cursed that it would never be made. So what is it? Why are we talking about this? So a comedy based on a 1963 satirical novel called The Incomparable Atuk by Canadian author Mordecai.
You don't need to say his name.
Mordecai, I know how to say that. So the story is about an Inuit poet who travels to Toronto and has a series of fish out of water experiences in the big city. So the film version Americanized it by making Atuk a native of Alaska who travels to New York. So it sounds pretty Kubrick. Okay, bear with me 2 seconds. Super Bowl commercial sign, cut to commercial. There you go.
Didn't give me a chance.
Sorry. So, if the movie didn't seem to kill every actor associated with the lead role, apparently. So, The Curse of Atuk is particularly weird because the novel itself isn't about anything sinister or paranormal.
Mm.
The first man up for the role was comedy legend John Belushi.
Oh my god, I read that as John Legend and I was like, what?
So, after his untimely death from a drug overdose, the producers approached... I know, me too. They approached comedian Sam Kinison, who died in a drunk driving accident. So they were like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna get another one. So they decided to offer the part to John Candy, who would die from a heart attack a few months after getting the script. And then undaunted... Like, they're like, oh, okay. The part was then dangled in front of another SNL bit. I'm sorry, this breaks my heart. Chris Farley. I love Chris Farley. So he too would succumb to a drug overdose. So even stranger then, Farley allegedly gave a copy of the script to a friend who he thought might also be interested in the role, namely SNL Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman of The Simpsons. So 5 months after Farley's death, Hartman was shot and killed by his wife, who committed suicide just hours later.
Like, so what is that about?
I don't know. If you guys don't know who Phil Hartman is, Phil Hartman was like Troy McClure. A bunch of other characters as well.
He was Lionel Hutz, attorney at law.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was great.
Hartman was great, but like it's crazy that anyone who basically was in mind to play that role was murdered or
killed. How weird is it?
It's very strange. It actually is quite strange.
It kind of makes me want to like ask about it, but I also don't want to die.
Who would you like? Is it?
I'll play a Tuck. Imagine if I died tonight, Danny. If I die tonight, like you need to warn everyone about this.
Yeah, I mean,
horrible a Tuck.
Like it is bizarre.
It's for sure cursed. I'm sorry, I'm going 5 out of 5 as well. I agree with the
I would go 5 out of 5 genuinely, because it is like really strange that they did all die while this movie was kind of circulating.
I know, but even just like whatever about if you just kept saying, oh yeah, well, like, and I mean this in the best possible way, like let's say like the 4 first main actors who were like in the running for that were all like heavily overweight and all big drug users, right? So you could be like, okay, like heart attacks for either being like quite obese or drugs, fair enough. But Phil Hartman was like quite slim and didn't die of drugs, and like he was like the last person to be handed the script, and then he was like shot by his wife.
And then I can't really like figure out, I honestly don't know, did they just scrap making the movie after Phil Hartman?
Well, clearly, because like I've never heard of it.
Is it a movie? I'm gonna Google it.
Yeah, no, because look, it's even in the opening line it says the movie is believed to be so cursed that it will never be made. So they obviously, even like the movie executives are obviously like, let's just stop killing actors, getting these actors killed.
Unfilmed American screenplay.
What's interesting though is
it's a novel from 1963 though.
Well, I'm definitely going to read, and maybe not read the whole novel, but I'm definitely going to read what the novel is about, because it'd be interesting to see, you know, if there was something, you know, like it's a Canadian author, and then they changed it to being, you know, an Americanized. So it's called
The Incomparable Atuk,
mm-hmm.
Satirical novel by Canadian author Mordecai Richler,
mm-hmm.
first published in 1963. Oh, it doesn't even say what it's about, though. Hang on.
Are we going to have to read a book, Danny? Oh, hate when this happens.
It really doesn't even say what it's about.
The only books I like reading for this podcast are the Malus Maleficarium.
It says, satirize the Canadian cultural elites of Richter's day, who in the novel fetishize Atuk first as a noble savage, and when his corruption becomes apparent as a symbol of Canadian nationalism and anti-American sentiment. Many of the characters are parodies of real Canadian celebrities, including Hugh Garner, Nathan Cohen, Pierre Burton, and Nathan Phillips. But it still doesn't give me... So it says, a film adaptation was in the works in the middle of the 1980s to beginning of the 1990s, but never followed through. The movie, which would have been simply called Atuk, has been called Cursed, as several actors associated with the film died, including John Belushi, Sam Kinison, John Candy, and Chris Farley. Rumours of the script being cursed were dismissed in February 1999. Many overweight actors were interviewed for the movie, and the actors who died earlier were said to have lived rather unhealthy lifestyles. Mm. It also attracted the interest of other actors who have survived well beyond the film's ceased production, such as Will Ferrell, Jack Black, John Goodman, and Josh Mostel, as well as Jonathan Winters, who lived to the age of 87.
Why did they never make it, though? Then.
I don't know. So though some might claim that the curse indirectly led to the premature death of Robin Williams.
No!
Yeah, Winter's virtual protege. Yeah, that's wild. Anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. I hope you sit on this and have a think. And I'm sorry for advertising this. Sorry for advertising this as a short episode, but this is an actual genuine episode that I had. No, I had a lot of fun though.
I had so much fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should do, let us know if you want us to do more episodes like this, because it was genuinely quite fun to not have it mapped out in front of me and to be able to like.
Oh no, you've just learned the joys of not having to research, and now there's going to be no research done. It's like, no!
On this week's episode, what is the deal with airplane food?
So I'm going to have a rundown of each episode of the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
Oh my God, we should do that. We should do like a little segment next week.
I'm sorry. Like, I
Shut up, Jodie.
No, because you kind of made me doubt whether or not
if you're
I had
calling about the
Joe,
missing link, they'll be rushed to by my grandson.
You had made me doubt whether or not I dreamed that show, but I didn't. There were 13 episodes. It was Scooby-Doo. It was as part of an like Adult Swim thing on Cartoon Network. I remember it was quite scary. For some reason, Fred and Velma weren't in it, but the other characters were, and Vincent Price lived with them. And no, honestly, and he voiced himself, like, or he was called Vincent Van Gool in the TV show.
Oh, I love that. And Vincent Van Gool.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo is given a chest of 13 ghosts that he needs to look after, but then accidentally opens the chest, releasing them. And then each episode is them trying to capture the ghost back into the chest. It was fucking deadly.
Amazing.
Yeah, we need to watch this.
We will on the next episode, probably. So you guys know where to find us. It's at Scream Queens Podcasting on Instagram.
Or if you'd like to send us a formal letter of complaint, please direct it to Danny. That's with two N's and two I's. It's at screamqueenspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, you can get us on there. We are very sorry for the inconsistency of this
quality.
we're sorry. So this episode as well, I'm just going to tell you now, even though you already know this because you're listening to it and it's the end of the episode, but I'm not going to fucking edit this. We're not going to edit this tonight. This is going to be a What's Friday an night and not Friday morning.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Like at least three of our listeners get very upset when we do that. What's Michelle going to listen to on her run?
I know.
Or brisk walk.
But that this is what we get. I did tell our editor-in-chief that we weren't recording this week. Then we decided to, and now he's like, okay, fine, but it's not going up to
like,
Friday night.
Do you know what I really want? I would really love to, like, for just like an hour, experience the world and mostly us from like Matt's perspective.
Should we have like, him on an episode?
No.
I think we should.
No, you should never meet your heroes.
I think we should have him discuss what we discuss. I think we should have like a little three-way thing.
No, I just stop trying to make me have a three-way with you and Matt. No, I just
save
like
our marriage.
No, I would literally someone asked you. no, I just think that like I'd love to like does he think like we're like massive divas that are like, oh, we're not recording? Yes, we're recording. No, scrap it all. We're recording a new episode last minute. No. Like it's very it sounds diva like on the outside, you know.
Because when we record, he sits in the next room. So he basically he knows what's going on.
I guess
so
he's just listening.
No, he like half listening.
Sorry, I'm just imagining him sitting in the corner, listening to you, watching you. He's looking at me right now. Hi, Matt. Does he never wave
no,
back?
No, Matt, that sailor suit doesn't fit me anymore.
Yeah, no, like completely.
No. It gets to a point where like, because he can tell by me like when I'm recording if I'm not happy with an episode. Mm. So he's just like, yeah, no, if I'm like, oh, we're scrapping it, we're going to do something else. He's like, yeah, I could tell. Just because like, the bedroom's like, I record in the spare room in the office and then the bedroom is next door. So he'll just lie on the bed on his phone. So he kind of like tunes in and out, basically.
Like, is he a controlling, domineering boyfriend? Because it sounds like it. What are you talking about? I'm going to hang out in here and listen to you.
No, he's not. Not at all.
I know, believe me. Based on what I know of the two of you, he definitely isn't.
No, he's not. He's like, no, he's not at all. But yeah, so you guys.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep.
I'm gonna go beep, beep, because beep. My Republican brother asked me to give him a call because he wants to meet Matt. I think only because Matt wrestles on the WWE network now, so he wants to meet him.
Oh, that's funny because he's also asked me to Zoom with him later too. He knows me well though, you know.
Yeah, go
for also
it.
It's Matt that he has never met Matt.
Yeah. I mean, he was supposed to fly. Matt was supposed to come for the funeral, and then there was a big storm, so he didn't even make it. So,
well, based on it, was he ever in the film The Omen, and that's why he's avoiding planes.
My dad was like, "Fuck this guy,
a wrestler. I had bigger dreams for you.
He's gonna be a trucker.
Should have been at least a snooker player."
Goodbye, guys. We love you.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. We'll probably have a bunch of stuff that we're gonna throw into the start of it because we're like, let's make another list next week. But yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
I do. We never follow through. Bye. Love you.
Other, don't forget to tell us what we've done wrong. Okay, bye.
No, please don't.
Click, 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 click. Love you guys. Bye.
Beep, 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 beep.
If you're going to tell me you don't like this dress, I'm sticking my head right in the oven.
Don't fall asleep.
What am I supposed to be scared of?